These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five on the shot clock. Kyrie rises, tough three. Got it! Oh, a dagger of a three by Kyrie Irving with John Wall in his face.
Get off my damn toe, man.
Celtics by two. 32 seconds to go. Wall drives past bars, gets to the cup easily and scores again. 34 for John Wall, 33 for Kyrie. Tie game with 21 seconds to go in the overtime. Kyrie Irving out near half court. Pull up. Crazy deep. Oh, and he got it.
Kyrie. Kyrie, I'm having a heart attack out here.
So that's how it ended last night. Celtics over the Wizards, overtime. Really great finish. I mean, Celtics should have had it salted away in regulation, but they give up a really bad offensive rebound on a free throw. And Beal's able to tie it, and then Kyrie misses a little runner, and it goes to overtime, and then at the end of overtime, they're still down one, and Irving hits these two three-pointers, if you haven't seen them, just stupid.
I mean, the second one he shot from Richmond.
So the first one was right on the Celtics bench. He was on the end line, on the sideline, rather. And Wall is right in his face. And he drills it, and then the next possession he shot from 31 feet away, which was halfway between the top of the key and midcourt is where he shot it, basically.
I mean, and it was cold. It was really, it was an assassin's kind of shot. I mean, he just dribbled casually, like, Wall didn't come out on him like, all right, you're going to challenge me to take this? Basically, I'll drop it right in your kisser. And he did. He nothing but net.
So, you know, that sort of speaks for itself. You can weigh in on that. To me, the interesting takeaway for the team right now is that they're on this winning streak with guys out. And I don't think that's by coincidence. I think the Celtics, for years, have established the fact that they can win with quote-unquote lesser talent, or Stevens can get them to play harder than most of the opponents and play smarter than most of the opponents on a nightly basis. And with these injuries and the guys being out, they've sort of come a little bit closer to what they've been the last couple of years versus what they are now, which is a super team. And I know they can win as a mid-talent team, you know, a team without the most talent. They've proven that. And Stevens is at his best when he has that kind of team. They still haven't proven they can win at a high level when they're a super team. And I'm not telling you they can't. I'm just telling you, I think that these injuries have frankly benefited them because it's taken some decisions away from Stevens. It's crystallized some things in terms of his rotations and minutes and shots. And he has fewer mouths to feed. And it's been easier on the coach. They still have to cross that hurdle of everyone being back, everyone being healthy, everyone wanting their minutes, everyone wanting their shots. Everyone's concerned about their brand. Everyone's concerned about their reputations and their contracts. And they still haven't, we're still not there yet. And, well, let's see what that looks like when that does happen, when everyone comes back and that's what they have to deal with. Right now, they're in a diminished state, but they're used to being in a diminished state.
Well, and so the picture is clarified. I mean, again, all the minutes went to basically six or seven guys last night. I mean, there weren't a lot of choices to make. You know, so that part of it is, I think it has. It simplified the whole thing for him. The other thing is, and I saw this line in Adam Himmelsbach's story in the Boston Globe today, where he's talking about the Celtics, and he makes this comment about how people were dumping on him not too long ago. On November 24th, he writes, "The Celtics lost to the Mavericks to fall to 10-10. Fan angst soared. Sports talk shows piled on. And players even openly admitted that maybe they were not as good as they once thought." Now, look, I recognize he's just narrating there. Like, all of a sudden, now everything has changed, and here they are. They fixed it all. Who have they beaten? The six teams they've beaten during the stretch, because they played New Orleans twice, none of them are in the playoffs. Not one. Not one of the teams is even an eight seed. They're all out. They're all lottery teams. Every single one of them. So now a team we were talking about being a championship contender at the beginning of the year is beating up on lottery teams, and we think they fixed the problem? So that kind of irritated me.
But at least they're doing what they should be doing, unlike earlier in the year when they're losing to the Knicks in Orlando at home. You know, like those, that was inexcusable. That's what showed you there was a real problem. So is everything solved? No, but I think you can be happy with this seven-game winning streak.
Yeah, the Isaiah Thomas Celtics beat bad teams too, and they weren't going anywhere.
So this is my point. They're closer to those teams than the super team. And they can win the crap out of regular season games against Eastern Conference teams with that kind of lineup. I mean, they just have proven it. They're the best team in the league at it.
But you knew those Isaiah Thomas teams had a ceiling.
Right. No,
you know, that was limited.
I know. I'm just telling you that this is going to sound weird, but this isn't the Celtics team that's going to win the championship. They're missing, no Hayward, no Brown, no Horford. They still haven't proven they can win with that group. I mean, they're 10 times more talented with that group, but they still haven't figured that thing out. We still need to see that. That's sort of where I'm at with this. And it just, the winning streak coincides with a really easy schedule. No, that's probably number one on the list, Mass. But also coincided with, you know, Hayward being benched, Brown getting hurt, Horford getting hurt, Kyrie going down. It's sort of like it's made everyone's life because it's all, there aren't decisions there.
No, a lot of easy decisions. And I do think that Marcus Smart in the starting lineup was a, you know, an access.
No question.
In a lot of ways. Changing that lineup changed sort of the message.
And to me, last night, Smart was every bit as important as Kyrie. You hear that? Jones and the rest of you Marcus Smart haters, every bit as important. I didn't say more important. I didn't say I'd rather have Smart than Irving. I said last night, Marcus Smart changed more possessions, created more possessions for you than anyone on the floor. I mean, every freaking loose ball, every offensive rebound, he starts flopping around on the floor. You know, his usual thing.
It was nonstop hustle plays and ball hockey.
Oh.
I thought look, Kyrie was phenomenal in that OT period, but for the story of the game overall, to me, it was Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris to an extent.
So, to me, when those guys come back and everyone's healthy and ready to go, Marcus Smart still starts the game for me and ends the game for me. That doesn't change.
That Happy Walters looks like a very smart man.
Woo-hoo! Got my 6%. Okay, back to your calls. We've given away the dead tickets. Thank you for playing. If you want to talk sports, Celtics, Red Sox, Patriots, Steelers, most notably, 617-779-0985. Mike in Burlington, what do you got for us?
Hi, guys. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Same.
All of you and your support staff.
Thanks.
I got FYI, a basketball court dimension is 94 by 50.
Thank you.
And I agree with Mavs on the rotation now. We're putting Smart in there. And I want to recognize last night the C's won that game at 25-25 at the line. Now, another thing, Morris, he's another guy that I think is being underrated. And the reason the Celtics weren't winning earlier, the bigs are playing away from the board. So they shoot outside, and there's always four competitors underneath the rebound.
Okay, so that's partly it. But, you know, the same things I say about Marcus Smart, you can say about Marcus Morris. It seems to fit better when he's out on the floor.
Absolutely. I think the two of them, they bring a sort of an intensity and a tenacity, and they're, you know, they're both guys who can play at the defensive end of the floor. The pieces fit better. They're a more complete team. They can beat you at both ends when they have those guys on the floor. Now, does that mean those are the five who are going to be out there at the end of any big game against Golden State? I don't know. That's going to be a matchup thing. But in terms of the regular season and being able to adapt on the fly, that's a better lineup.
Okay, we continue with your calls. Felger and Mazz here on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mazz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Listening to Felger and Mazz.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha he he.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
And it hit him. Austin slammed his bat on the ground. Now heads toward the mound.
I don't blame him.
And he's ready to swing. He and Kelly go down on the ground. Both benches empty. We have a brawl in Boston.
I was ready to defend myself. Someone comes in my property and in my backyard. I have two dogs and ready to come to my property. And, you know, I feel like if I'm getting attacked, then I'm having to defend myself.
Matt Barnes, oh, Heath Henry, Doc Joe Kelly, and those other guys.
It's time to spin the wheel of gutless bums. Red Sox manager Alex Cora is faced with a tough decision. Who to use in a high leverage situation late in the game? Now, let's spin the wheel.
And today's gutless bum is...
Round ball snatched up. He's got it. He'll fire into the outfield as the run scores. Runners will hold up at first and second as the throw comes back on a misfire by Kelly.
Seventh inning and a pitching change for the Red Sox. Joe Kelly takes over. 1-2 pitch. Struck him out. Kelly ready with another. Left side, Devers. Two out. Right now, strikes out. And Joe Kelly with a 1-2-3-7.
So we had that guy early in the season, and then he struggled throughout the middle of the season. In September, he made some adjustments, and the stuff started playing again. But in October, he's been lights out. He went from being the guy in the seventh, eighth inning to just a guy in the bullpen, and now he's back to the equation. And when Joey's throwing strikes with all his pitches, he might be one of the toughest relievers in the big leagues because his stuff is that good.
Again, we won't have Joe Kelly to kick around anymore. 3 years, $25 million with the Los Angeles Dodgers. Maz, your thoughts again, please.
I told you the part of it that I find most amusing. The money didn't shock me. I thought Kelly was going to get about $8 million a year. I mean, that's what a good middle reliever slash setup man is going for. I'm still reluctant to call Kelly a setup man because I'm not sure he can do the job consistently. So they got him right in the playoffs and he was dominant. Dominant in October. Absolutely, positively brilliant. And the part of the story that amused me, the Dodgers, the team you beat in the World Series, they think he's this good. They watched him and went, wow, look at that guy. Why don't the Red Sox want him? Let's get him. Good luck with that, is what I would say to the Dodgers. Like, they took the cheese, man. The one thing you cannot do in baseball is wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Think the one-night stand is actually going to last. Because with Joe Kelly, that's what that was. That was a one-night stand. The Dodgers, idiots. They think it's legit.
How about these reports today that if Kimbrel's number keeps coming down, the Red Sox will be back in on Craig Kimbrel?
Well, so look, they offered him 1 year. They made the qualifying offer to him, which was 1 year, $17.9 million. So I suppose you don't make that offer if you're afraid that he's going to accept it. Now, at the same time, they had probably spoken to the agent knowing what the parameters were roughly for a deal, and that Kimbrel was going to go out in the market and get some type of big contract.
Three at 40.
No.
Two at 25.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure I want him at one at 15. I wouldn't pay $15 million for him. Not where they are against the luxury tax. So after what we saw in October, especially, he can get on these stretches. Look, there are times where he's absolutely brilliant, but there are other times where he just can't hit the side of a barn. He looked like he was crapping his pants on the mound in October, more than half the time. And so I say, thanks, but no thanks. What he gave you, I think you can find for a lot less than that. Now, can you find someone better for $15 million a year? Maybe. Like, I'll take my chances is the point. I will take my chances, even if it were 1 year and $15 million. I don't think I'm bringing him back.
Okay, there's your Red Sox reset. Back to your phones. We've got David and Nashua on the Celts. Hi, David.
Hey, how's it going? Felger, so I believe you are actually the only person I've heard today that actually said that about the end of the game, with the fact that Kyrie should have held the ball instead of passing it to Tatum. And the fact that you guys say all year Tatum's actually just going for his stats and kind of playing as what he's playing because of Kobe Bryant, I'm actually starting to see that now because of that, rather than pulling out and trying to run around, because at the point there was 10 seconds left on the clock when you got the ball at least.
Yeah, so you're saying I'm right. I mean, it was a brilliant pass. It was a great pass and it was an easy dunk. So like they got to the 3-point lead, but the play there was to really pull up and take the foul.
Yeah. So why is he going down? Even though, it's 1 point, you might want a little bit more, but at the same point, you have 16 seconds left when Kyrie got the ball over half court. So why are you going for the score? Why don't you just take the foul, if anything? Why didn't Brad call anything at that point, or what's going on with that? Because they could have lost it in overtime once they were down 6 points.
So that was just up six. That was just a hidden bad play. And it's hard to say bad because it was a dunk. It was a two-handed dunk. You know, very, very high percentage shot there. But still, you pull it out. You get fouled. Maybe there's less time on the clock. If you hit your foul shots to the 3-point game, you give them less of an opportunity. I don't know. I mean, it was a brilliant play by Kyrie. Great pass, but I don't know if that was the right play in that situation.
So you know what? It didn't even occur to me until you said it. And I have the game log now in front of me. Wall scored to make it 111-110 with 23 seconds left.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So the shot clock's off.
Right.
I mean, now you're just killing the game.
Either way. Right.
Either way,
I'll tell you. I mean, it was a fascinating end. Did you go back and look at the Beal follow?
Because not since the beginning of the show, but I'll do it right now.
Because on the broadcast, Scal blamed Rozier and Tatum. You're saying it was Smart that should have been?
I mean, Smart was the guy that was in position to box out the shooter.
And then I found it fascinating that on the inbounds, they didn't go to half court. They called timeout immediately, which means, you know, front court. I mean, you know, you usually get the ball at the front court, but I guess it's your option if you want to keep it under the basket, and they kept it under the basket. Also, Kyrie could get a full head of steam. And it worked. He got a really good shot off. He didn't make it. But the whole end of that game was fascinating, I thought. Chad in Salem on Pat Steelers. What do you think, Chad?
So I'm a Steelers fan, but Maz, remember a couple days ago you said that the Dolphins-Patriots game, they were like dumb and dumber?
Yes.
Yeah, well, Pittsburgh is like dumbest. So, you know, everyone that's I don't think Tomlin's got a shot after this year. You can say that I'm crazy, but Chuck Noll coached for 23 years, Bill Cowher coached for 15 years, and this will be Tomlin's 12th year. And if they lose out and don't make the playoffs, I think he's done. I can't believe that two of you guys are picking the Steelers.
Okay, well, why can't you believe that? They're favored.
I don't, because they're not a good team.
But they're
going to lose out. They're going to lose to New England as they always do, and that's going to be it.
Okay, but I mean, you're just, now we're playing prediction radio, which is dumb. No, none of us know what's going to happen. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Pats win.
See, if these
but it's not crazy to think that the favorite's going to win.
And if these were the Patriots,
how is that crazy?
These were the Patriots of old, you wouldn't bat an eye about them going on the road.
No, but why are you dumb to pick a home favorite?
No, there's confusion here because Matt screwed this up earlier. The Patriots are favored in this game.
Okay, so thank you. Okay.
Oh, I saw Patriots plus 3.5.
No, you're wrong. The Patriots are favored in this game. They're minus 3.5.
Oh.
I don't know what offshoot crap website you were looking at. This is why I Google things, Maz.
Yeah, exactly. see, Murray, and so don't get angry the next time I do it.
All right, then fine. I'm picking a home dog. It's still not bad to pick a home dog. I don't trust the Patriots. We'll see who's right and who's wrong. I hate arguing about who's going to win. That's why I don't like predictions, Jimmy. Because then you get into arguments about who's going to win, which is so asinine. You don't know. And everyone's wrong. So what's the point?
Because I want the sound to play back to make fun of you.
Yes. Not here on Monday, Stu. So that was another strategic strike. I'm not going to be around to hear the nonsense.
That's okay. You listen. I know you do. I know you use the app. I know you tap that app.
I don't know if Monday I'll be listening. I'm not sure. We've got...
It's Jones on Monday. How can you not listen to Jones?
So here's the schedule. Felger and Maz coming up next week. Murray and Adam Jones.
All week.
What a great show.
And Hook's in, too.
With Hook Monday through Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Second best show in Boston. automatically. Big Jim Murray, Adam Jones, and Marshall Hook all next week. And we haven't announced this on the radio. I think we should mention it at least once.
Yeah.
The next time you'll be hearing after tomorrow, a fully loaded Felger and Maz show, South Bend, Indiana on January 1st.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Felger and Maz traveling to Touchdown Jesus. We'll be broadcasting live right outside Notre Dame Stadium for the Winter Classic Bruins Blackhawks.
Murray, you bring drugs onto that campus, you're going to get a real campus search.
Seriously. I'm going to need something that day, Murray, so let's talk.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea.
What did Daron Harmon do with that hollowed out Arizona iced tea thing?
Yeah.
Something like that. Either way, Felger Maz live, January 1st, South Bend, Indiana. Bruins Blackhawks Winter Classic will be there.
With Murray. Murray will be there with us.
Murray, yeah. Well, I mean, the Felger Maz program, that's what I mean.
Yeah. So just quickly, you said the Patriots are actually favored by 3 on the road.
Yeah.
Okay. Were they favored in Miami?
Yes, they were.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. Here's Pat in Framingham for Maz. Go ahead, Pat.
Maz, you're driving me crazy. You're doing the same thing with the Celtics that you did with the Red Sox, where the Red Sox beat up on the crap teams, the Orioles and the such. But now the Red Sox, the Celtics are doing the same thing, and we can't have it both ways. What do you want? They're beating the teams they should beat, just like the Red Sox did. What's the problem with that? They're doing what they're supposed to do.
So what I would tell you is that the Celtics, like the Red Sox, are going to be judged by what they do in the postseason. That's what I would tell you. That if it's about beating regular season competition, great. Throw yourself a parade. Have a nice time. I'm not coming. In the spring,
you're not coming to the real parade either.
Well, that's true. Actually, I don't do parades. I generally don't do parades. But they really have beaten dog crap during this stretch.
So I'm not taking away from them. I'm just telling you.
I'm not.
I'm saying that they're winning with a diminished lineup, which Brad Stevens is really good at. Really good at. And you've been doing it now for like 4 years. You do that better than anybody. What I need to see is you fully loaded with all those hungry mouths to feed and facing a good team, and then it all coming together. We still haven't seen that yet. A lot of time, and they can do it. I'm just telling you, we're still not at that point yet. We're not at that point yet. And I think that in some way, these injuries have made it easier on Stevens. Dave in Maine. Go ahead, Dave.
Hello.
Hello, David. You're on the air.
Oh, great. I just want to talk about John Wall for a minute. Last night, I found him really to be irritating me with his tapping his arm every time he went to the basket. I mean, I know he's a great player, but he's not getting fouled every time. Usually he's blowing by so fast. Yeah, he's fine. But
David, you ever watched Jason Tatum? Yeah, you ever watched Jason Tatum go to the rim?
Yeah.
What does he do?
I don't think he taps his arm.
Are you watching? No, he doesn't. He does something else. Are you watching on TV?
No.
Okay, well, if you were, I'll give it to you right now.
Mike is now mimicking Jason Tatum's usual, "What the hell? Where's my call?"
Every time. Every time. It's a LeBron move.
Yeah.
He does the same thing LeBron does. Every time he goes to the rim. Every time. They all do something like that. It's better than... I'll take that over Marcus Smart, who, again, I really respect as a player, and he should be on the floor. But, boy, what a cheating flop artist he is. He is. Who am I? Who makes this sound every time he goes into the lane? Have you heard that? I can't do it well enough. It's like a duck call that says to the ref, "I'm flopping, call it."
It's the Paul Pierce.
Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about, Jimmy? That's it. Thank you. Every time he goes to the rim, goes up for a rebound, and is
Jimmy's is more of like a seeing a proctologist.
So Jimmy gave me like four different ones. That one is it right there. The first one you played. Oh my God. It's like that is Marcus Smart standing with a giant sign that says, "I'm flopping." Call it, and they call it every time. And every time I say to the ref, you know he makes that noise because he's trying to draw the call. Don't you? Like, how can I?
Just sounds like smart basketball.
Well, I don't watch every night. I'm sort of in and out of these games. These refs are there every night with these guys, every single night. And when Marcus Smart says, it's like, you know what he's doing. No, you haven't figured that out yet. He's faking. He didn't get hit.
He's flopping.
Oh, my God. So don't give me the John Wall thing.
I will say, though, about Wall, two things. One, when he wants to go to the hoop, he can go to the hoop.
Oh, my God.
Oh, is he?
Especially when he's covered by Time Lord.
Don't get me started on Time Lord.
So there is that.
I meant to tell you real quick, Mike, do you know what they call it when he blocks a shot?
Oh, it's something stupid.
Clock blocks.
Oh, my God. He's clock blocking.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, that's actually kind of cute. That. No, that's not bad.
Yeah. I told you, now that I know the genesis of the nickname, it's actually pretty good.
That's not bad, CB. Yeah. Okay. Here's Murray's update, and we're back.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
I love it.
You were right, Maz.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
Here at the Man of the Hour, Kyrie hit two huge threes in overtime. Take me through both of them.
It was warranted. The shot clock was worn down in the first one. John got a great contest. I just tried to get a good look at the rim and try to get my elbow pointed at it and just take a good one. But, our team needed it. They were coming down, pushing in transition. John got to the basket a few times, easy too. So it was a great, great test for us. Obviously, it's not the same Washington team that's been playing throughout the season. They still have great talent down there, still have cohesion to build. So it was a great test for us tonight.
Finally, we talked about leadership this morning with you, and you certainly showed that tonight. But what kind of identity are you guys establishing here?
Just playing hard till 48 minutes, and if it takes longer, then we'll play that out as well. We just got to stay poised, stay ready for whatever the game throws at us, and we're just having fun doing so. So a lot of smiles, just great defense being played, great basketball. So who doesn't want to watch the Celtics play?
Kyrie postgame on NBC Sports Boston. Back to your calls. Wrap it up here. Deuce and Newton. Hi, Deuce.
Hey, what's up? First time caller, long time listener.
Okay, get to it, baby.
Something I've noticed about the Celtics. First, they've been beating up on bad teams. Second, they couldn't stop fat John Wall last night. And third, Jaylen Brown is quietly becoming the next Jeff Green. Wildly inconsistent, shows high potential, but might never reach it. All right, I'll hang up and let you guys weigh in. Thank you.
Good job, Deuce. Jaylen Brown. I mean, let's see. When he came back from injury, it was better. And it felt like he was accepting of the role and da-da-da. And now he's been out the last two with an illness?
No,
or just last night?
No, no, he hurt his back. The two with the illness?
Well, yeah, he's got a. He was out last night with
illness. Yeah, illness, he's questionable for tomorrow night.
Oh, okay, that's all right, because he was supposed to come back, and then so look, I just think in the last four games that he's played, really, he's been pretty good. What you're seeing to me is more of what his game should be, which is going to the basket. If someone leaves you wide open for a jumper, you take it. I'm talking about threes. But otherwise, your game is getting to the hoop and using your athleticism, playing some defense. And I think he's sort of settled into that now.
Daniel on the South Shore on Patriots Steelers. Hi, Daniel.
Yeah, one thing, I do like it when the NHL were wearing white at home, Felger. It took me 5 years to get used to
it. Oh, believe me, I wish they'd go back.
Yes, absolutely.
I like it better.
Believe you agree with me for once.
Bruins and white at the Garden.
The way it should be.
Absolutely.
White uniforms at home, it was the greatest.
Agreed.
Anyways, and speaking of uniforms, the only pleasure I got out of watching last week's game was that Miami wore the original uniforms and the original logo on the helmet. I love those uniforms. Why they changed them, I have no idea. But anyways, now Tony, you keep saying that Roethlisberger is fat and he's a diva and all this. Do you still think he can throw the ball downfield to Antonio Brown?
Sure. Yes.
Okay, I mean, and the only time they got stops last week, the Patriots, that is when they, and they sound like a broken record, is they man coveraged in the secondary.
Pressure.
And they got to Tannehill. I mean, they didn't score on every drive. The defense did get some stops. And the way I see Pittsburgh, they got ripped off against San Diego. And I'm not a Steelers fan. The only team I hate worse than the Raiders is the Steelers. But they got ripped off against San Diego. They had a blatant false start they didn't call. They scored on that play. So Pittsburgh should have another win. And if you don't want to go to Kansas City, pray for San Diego tonight. I can't call them L.A. Pray for San Diego to win tonight, because the only shot that the Patriots have of going on the road, to me, is going to Los Angeles. That's it.
Okay, babe. Fascinating game tonight.
It's a great game for Thursday night.
Are the Chargers for real? Don't you find out tonight, because I said earlier, the San Diego Chargers that I grew up with have no chance in this game. None.
And they've lost nine in a row to the Chiefs. I mean, they've been one of the better stories in the conference in terms of teams that have, hit a ceiling or reaching a ceiling. You got Rivers, a veteran, against a young guy in Mahomes. They both have injured running backs. Eric Berry might be returning. Like, has there been anything definitive on Eric Berry?
No, he's playing in this game.
He is
he's
playing.
Just going to be on limited snaps as well.
So I just think it's a great, it's a great game.
The Chargers showed me something with that win in Pittsburgh, but with this track record, and Mahomes shredded them in week one, odds are Kansas City's going to win this game. But if the Chargers pull off the upset, yeah, they'll show you something.
I mean, it's a huge game for the Chargers. Huge. Kansas City's owned them. Nine in a row they've beaten them. Nine.
617-779-0985. Couple open lines if you want to just get in before the wire here. Dredd in the car on the Red Sox. Hi, Dredds.
Hey, guys. What's up? So can you repeat that Jackie Bradley headline first?
Yes, the headline read, here in the Boston Globe, Bradley, a difficult piece to deal for the Sox.
Okay. When I first heard that, I was thinking difficult piece to deal, saying nobody wants to deal for him. But they're getting more offers. I took it the other way. You guys didn't?
No. I took it as the Red Sox find it hard to trade him because they like him so much.
And that's the story. The story says he's a hard guy to peg and a hard guy to deal because the Sox need him, basically.
Well, I'm just saying he's coming off the best. I mean, that's the best we're going to get out of him for the postseason. We all know that. And he's not getting any calls on the guy. I mean, strike while you're young is hot, man. He's at his peak.
Dredds.
I mean, what's up, buddy?
Dredds, you're so right. Talking about selling high.
Oh, this is the time.
The postseason he had, those home runs he had, especially in that Houston series. And, this is it. He's coming off a second half where he had an OPS of .850, batted .280.
And he's got 2 years left, not one.
Unless he turns into a hitter that I don't think that he is.
Stock will never be higher.
That's it.
Stock will never be higher than it is right now. He was MVP of the LCS. Okay, and he's got 2 years left. A year from now, whoever gets him is going to be saying, well, we might have to move him because we can't sign him and he's going to free agency. But if you get him now, you get him for 2 years? Oh, my gosh, please. This is the time. Move him.
Jordan in Boston. Hi, Jordan.
Hey, how's it going? Two quick points on Brady. I got to agree with you, Felger. Brady hasn't put in the work in. You know, he was picked 199 in the draft. He's never been athletic. He doesn't scramble. We don't need him to slide. If he puts in the work, he can be the best. You know, he just doesn't put in the work.
He's still putting in work, Jordan. He's just putting in a little less. That's all.
Yeah, and I agree. You know, I think it's the family thing going on. And, you know, he's more dedicated to the kids and Giselle and Wetzel. And I think he's lost faith, you know, in the receiving game and the offensive playbook game.
Okay, I'm not sure that that's – I mean, maybe at times right now he should feel pretty comfortable. I mean, with Josh Gordon, and Brady deserves credit for working with Gordon. They all do, for getting to him to where he's at. But I don't think Brady or anyone has the right to complain about a lack of weapons. They're fine. And I'm, you know, I know Gronk's not exactly what he was, and maybe Edelman might not be either. And Gordon's new, so I'm not telling you it's perfect. I'm not telling you this is like 2007. But Brady's won with a lot less than this, I'll tell you that much.
If Pittsburgh does what Miami did last week and plays soft zones...
I mean, isn't that what they usually do?
Brady will have five guys to throw to. It won't be a problem. So it is what they usually do. They didn't do it last year, though. So I wonder, maybe some light finally went on there. And I also wonder if... You know, I don't know. I'm eager to see how Pittsburgh plays this. Because there's a general consensus out there now that Brady is not as good against the blitz anymore. So does Pittsburgh blitz him? Like, you know, because you know they want to.
Michael in Salisbury on the Red Sox. Hi, Michael.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? Thanks for taking my call. First, I love Dredd's take. Second, Brady has plenty of weapons. Third, I think Craig Kimbrell is a walking dookie diaper. And fourth, I wish that we grab Joe Kelly just for one more year, because L.A. taking him for three is, like Matt said, that's just... crazy.
So, I mean, if the Red Sox had signed him for 1 year and $8 million, how would you feel about that?
Sure. I mean...
That's what I was hoping they were going to do.
It's fine. I mean, I wasn't all that convinced they were going to keep Kelly or Kimbrel. Kimbrel especially, to me, the money's just way too high. In the case of Kelly, I thought there was a shot because, you know, they seem to like him and they like him better than we did. But he's just too erratic. He's too erratic. They struck gold in October, but you're not getting that again.
Steven Northbridge, follow up on that.
Hey, guys. Happy holidays. I need your opinion on two things. One, how do you feel about the Red Sox bullpen now as it stands? And two, if the Red Sox don't bring back Craig Kimbrel, who should they move up as the closer for our team?
How do we feel about the bullpen right now? Is it good enough to win a championship?
No. No.
Maz, how can you do that? You did that for 12 months, and then they won it all. So now you're right back at it?
Okay, but they just lost two guys on top of it.
Two guys who sucked.
Well, but still, you need guys to get outs during the course of the year.
Who's the second?
Kimbrel and Kelly.
Well, Kimbrel's not gone yet, but Kelly.
He's gone. I don't think Kimbrel's coming back. I'd be surprised if that happens.
But I thought you kind of trusted... Brazzers there.
We hated those guys.
I do.
All right, so there's your closer. Barnes, hopefully he's flipped a switch.
Okay,
like
hold
the
on. The caller said right now. How have they replaced these guys?
So when did you believe?
Who have they replaced them with?
But I mean, I just don't understand how the results don't change your thinking just a little bit. Like, I mean, I'm someone like, I have takes all the time, and then my team loses or my take is defeated. I'm like, okay, yeah, I was wrong. Yeah, I was good enough. You never hit that point with the Red Sox.
I did not. So here's my point on the bullpen. But excluding the stars, Eovaldi, Porcello, when they got into close games in the World Series and LCS, who are the two guys out of the bullpen?
Yeah, Porcello and those guys.
No. The two relievers.
Well, no, Eovaldi was a starter, I guess. I don't know.
Brazier and Kelly.
Yeah, exactly.
So you lost one of them.
Yeah.
So you lost one of the guys that you were trusting.
I don't think Kelly's irreplaceable. Like so wait, we dump on the guy.
Kyle said right now.
Hold on. We dump on the guy all year long, and then they lose him, and you're like, well, that's a loss. Well, you hated the guy.
They haven't replaced him.
But you didn't like him in the beginning. Do I think that they could get in the postseason and core manage it between the starters coming out there and them finding one or two arms? Yes. Yep, I think they can do the exact same thing, just like Houston did, just like I feel like all these teams are doing now. It's a different sort of thing.
Sure.
It's a different game. You don't just go in with the bullpen and stick to the bullpen. You do all sorts of different permutations.
Agreed. How are they going to get through the regular season with the bullpen they have right now?
I'm more concerned regular season than playoffs. How's that? But I think their offense is so good, they're going to win the regular season games.
Their bullpen for the regular season is not good enough right now. They need one or
good
maybe...
Good enough to what? Good enough for what? To make the playoffs?
To win the division.
They'll figure it out. They'll be fine.
Their bullpen's not good enough
to
win.
Are you sure about
division.
That, Murray?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, I think the Yankees are going to be a lot better next year.
You're still on the Yankees?
I swallowed and digested my L on the Red Sox.
Yeah, you have to just like, after the team wins a championship, you're supposed, the etiquette is to just put a sock in it.
Whose etiquette?
For a little bit. Just
whose?
Well, so wait a minute.
What, yours?
So are you asking me about 2018
yes,
or 2019?
Yes, mine, because I believe if my team wins a championship, I want everyone just to shut up and take it. The ring shuts everything up.
The next day.
No, it's longer than a day.
Well, tell me when it ends. What's the statute of limitations?
Maz is the lone Japanese soldier in the Philippines here.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't realize we were still playing the 2018 season. I thought we were building for 2019 now. I thought that was the whole point. I celebrated 2018 when they won. I mean, it was impossible not to. They played so well, for crying out loud. But now that the issue is going forward, do you like their bullpen going into the year?
Yep. Yep. Fine. Everything the Red Sox do is fine.
Yeah. Oh, you guys are such
worst. Yeah, I liked Brazzers 13 base runners in 8 innings during the playoffs.
You guys
that
are,
made me feel good.
You guys are wuss bags.
They'll be fine.
That's no. It's a holiday book and you've mailed it in. That's yeah. What it is.
Here's an award next.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
I just don't know what to say anymore.
Wrong, sorry.
It's Felger and Maz.
They could use a good ass kicking.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
The best prices and great free services.
Nobody.
Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Last reminder.
Nobody.
Christmas in the City online auction. Go there now. It closes down tomorrow. So the Celtics tickets, Bruins tickets, the golf outings with Maz and Hardy, those are items that have now taken off because Hardy has thrown his hat into the ring. So it's two groups instead of one, six of you. They can be all six. It can be from one group or three and three, whatever. You'll play nine with Maz, nine with Hardy. Callaway has thrown in free Odyssey putters for each of the participants. So
it's a great deal. It really is.
If you're one of the six, you get a putter.
Yeah, and you get to pick from the line of putters that they have in 2019. So those will come out after the new year. Obviously, we'll give you choices and what have you, and unbelievably generous from Callaway Golf.
98.5thesportshub.com, christmasinthecity.org to bid. Murray.
All right, Jimmy. He has put together a production piece here. Why don't you explain what it is there, Jay Stu?
It is a Felger and Maz year in review in Uh-oh. Drops.
Oh,
wow.
Love it. Love the idea.
Drop this on us.
This is the best you've sounded in 8.5 years.
99.999% of the people hearing my voice, I'm talking to you. You don't know how to drive, so stay home. Or you don't have the right rig, so stay home.
What does Belichick do next? He's going to retire.
Why are we even discussing it if they just had the chance to
reset? I think
reset?
It's a fun topic.
Okay. I think it's useless.
Okay.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Rams.
And I told you that's not how we're doing this.
Well, that's not how you're doing it.
If you don't know the guy's number, he doesn't belong up there.
Middleton 16.
We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
He sucks.
He blows.
He sucks and blows.
Well, I tell you this about Brady. You know, I've been thinking about this long and hard, Mike.
Couldn't you?
I don't know, Sean. What did we do there?
That's wrong.
Yeah, I'm not really sure.
There's no reason why they should have signed Martinez. They didn't need him, Mike. It's going to be another disaster. Every free agent they sign, Mike, is a disaster.
Garoppolo, you have a deli pickup here.
Stop listening to Greg Bedard. He doesn't know diddly. I'm 70 years old and a walker, and I could get separation on him. Thank you.
Yeah!
Oh, Patriots are trading wide receiver Brandon Cooks. Get out.
So good luck, fella.
Oh, I'm going to lose it.
Sea-sucking computers.
That's for you, bitch.
I believe it's 8 years and running of the old wet sausage.
Murray! Felger, how about those OTAs? I guess Brady doesn't need those OTAs.
Give me the D.
What do you think? I don't get the question.
Why not? Well, why not? Well, why not? Why not? Why? Why not?
I only have about 30 seconds for you, so please jam it in. 617-77. The Red Sox have won 100 games, Maz. Should we care?
Yeah, not really. And there was some other absolute sack of doorknobs in there that I don't remember. You fat dump. F for Alex Cora. F. 102 miles an hour. 102. Oh, did I love that. 102. Suck on that. 102. You can't hit that. Sit your fat ass down. 102. Sit on that one, bitch, and spin. Do you believe it?
Yes.
I don't.
I do.
I don't.
Now that they're here, they have a puncher's chance.
Do you think they have a puncher's chance?
How big is this kid, Michelle? How big is he? Not that big, is he?
I don't know. Google it, Maz.
You mentioned Sony Michelle.
He sucks. He blows. That guy's awful.
Thoughts on Tom Brady?
He sucks. He blows. That guy's awful.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.